and on our social media platforms, including voaafrica.com.
Our hashtags tonight are Zim Decides, hashtag ZTN, hashtag Election Debate, hashtag VOA. Now let's introduce you to our panel, if you haven't recognized them already. Starting with our first panelist will be Mr. Tendai Biti, the MDC Alliance representative, who's MDC Alliance is represented by presidential candidate advocate Nelson Chamisa. Good evening, Mr. Biti. And then second, we have Dr. Nkosana Moyo. He is the presidential candidate for the Alliance for People's Agenda, APA. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Good evening.
And then we also have Professor Lovemore Maduku, presidential candidate for the National Constitutional Assembly. Welcome to the platform.
Thank you.
And last but in no means least, Ambassador Chris Mutangwa, representing the ruling party ZANU-PF, he's the presidential candidate for the party is the incumbent president Emmerson Mnangagwa. Welcome.
Good evening, Zimbabwe and the world.
Now, before we start, just a few rules so we all know how this is going to work. As you know, we have all sat, gentlemen, on various platforms and had discussions before. Tonight, we have a bit of a format that we're hoping you'll be able to follow. What we're going to do is we're going to start by offering each of you 2 minutes in which to speak and talk about yourselves as well as your parties. Thereafter, there will be a chance for you to answer for a minute and a half. And then we'll also then, each time that you're asked a question, you will only be allowed 2 minutes to speak at a time. So each time a question comes to you, whether from us as your hosts or from the audience, it will be only 2 minutes in which you can answer. So I hope that we can all adhere to that so that we can get as much covered. We've got many topics we want to discuss with you tonight as we prepare to understand what each of your parties are offering Zimbabwe. So if you can comply, I'm sure we'll get through quite a number of these key issues. And to our live audience tonight, don't forget that we will note your questions as well. As you heard, your first round of questions have already been taken in. And when inspired by what the panelists are saying, we will take a second round that will allow you to bring forward to us, and then we'll bring those forward to them. So all the other rules, etiquette, we hope that we can have a very mature and respectable debate tonight. Particularly to our panelists, the gentlemen, we know that sometimes these national issues, they sit hard on your hearts, and we don't at all discourage you from being passionate, but we do encourage you to be respectful. And I hope that the audience can adhere to the same. So, let's begin now with our first candidate to give their 1 minute, 30 second personal party profile, Dr. Nkosana Moyo.
Nkosana Moyo, I'm 67 years old now. I lead APA, the Alliance for the People's Agenda, and I'm the presidential candidate. My working life has been in the private sector, finance in particular, investment banking, commercial banking, and private equity. I would like to think that, and that has been broadly on the African continent, working in the UK as well as in the US. APA is a new party, started last year, when we recognized that our country is not going very far in terms of looking after the interests of our people. We felt something new was required, and what we offer as APA is in our manifesto, which was developed in very close consultation with the population of this country. Hence, the name of our party actually talks to our approach to the politics that we believe in, Alliance for the People's Agenda. In other words, we are driven by very closely listening to what people are saying to us. That's how we developed our manifesto. Our manifesto has got 5 pillars to it. The first one is constitutionalism. And I've jokingly said often that if all of the parties in Zimbabwe had read the constitution, actually, we should not have wasted money writing all of those manifestos. We should just have put one sentence only. We will abide by the provisions of the Constitution, because our Constitution, although it's not perfect like anything else, actually covers everything we need to do. It covers everything. So constitutionalism. The second issue is that Zimbabwe is a very divided nation. So we need a leader who can unite our country, our population, and form a genuine nation in order for us to apply our energies in a united way to overcome our challenges. So that's the second one. The third one is meritocracy. At the moment, our country is run by people who are selected on the basis of nepotism, cronyism, and patronage. We don't select and field our best team, our best brains. And we, in consultation with the population, have come to the conclusion that if we did just that thing alone, observe that if you want to win, you field the best brains possible, would do very well.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nkosana Moyo. And over to you now, Mr. Tendai Biti.
Thank you, Nko. My name is Tendai Biti. I'm a human rights lawyer, a founding member of the Movement for Democratic Change, and now a principal in the MDC Alliance, standing in on behalf of Advocate Nelson Chamisa, who is our leader. The MDC Alliance thrust is very simple. We want to end and undo 38 years of decay, of collapse, of an indifferent, cruel rule based on patronage and neo-patrimonialism. We anchor our policy document, SMART, the Sustainable Modernization Agenda for Real Transformation, on three key issues: transformation, opportunity, and prosperity. We consider that the transformation of our country is critical. The transformation of the governance culture, the transformation of the governance infrastructure. So we concentrate on things such as devolution, concentrate on things such as dealing with the corrosive agenda of corruption that is in our body politic. We intend to transform our economy, and our key tenet is, number one, to bring back macroeconomic stability in Zimbabwe, is to build a $100 billion economy within the course of the next 10 years, is to construct an economy which provides employment to our people, given that 95% of our people are unemployed. It is to build a country with a strong social agenda. And one of the things which we intend to do is to make a basic education a right by ensuring that primary education is free to every child. It is also intended to build a rights-based society. Citizens must have a full rights, and therefore the agenda of ensuring that constitutionalism and the rule of law are abided to by the citizen will be key.
Thank you, Mr. Biti. Thank you very much. And over to you, Professor Love Momaduku.
My name is Love Momaduku. I'm the leader of the NCA, standing in for National Constitutional Assembly. It's a new political party that came in from being a civic organization. And this is the first general election in which we are participating as a political party with a presidential candidate and several members of parliament. Our aim is to make Zimbabwe a prosperous and democratic country. The NCA's philosophy is empowerment of ordinary people, those that are marginalized and impoverished. We believe that the country is where it is today because it has allowed an undemocratic culture, and that undemocratic culture has been centered on our constitution. Unlike other players, we actually believe that the current constitution of Zimbabwe is an undemocratic document, and that when we get an opportunity, Zimbabweans must write a new constitution that is centered on their real and genuine aspirations. We believe that we need to provide a clean government. The current governance framework in our country is based on a corrupt mentality that believes that what political leaders must do is to enrich themselves and that to use the power that they have solely for that. This is not peculiar to those that are in the ruling party. We believe that we also have politicians in the opposition that are anchored on ensuring that politics is about enriching themselves. So ours is to provide a genuine and clean government, and a clean government that is clearly focused on the wishes of the poor and others. So we would say that the NCA philosophy is social justice based on what we call social democracy. The state must exist for those that are powerless. And that's what we intend to do.
Thank you, sir. All right, and Ambassador Chris Mutangwa.
Thank you very much, Mvenepo. I am Christopher Mutangwa, special advisor to the president. My party is ZANU-PF, which is the party of the incumbent. We are the party of history, we are the party of record, we are the party of the future. It was interesting to hear of the aspirations which are being expressed by the three gentlemen about their various parties. We just want to put it on record that 38 years ago there was...
Hello, I'm Demiake Mokalieli, and here we are in the Washington, D.C. studios of Straight Talk Africa. Of course, you're watching a live debate that is taking place right now in Harare, which is moderated between VOA's Shaka Sali, of course, of Straight Talk Africa, and ZTN, the Zim Papers TV network, who is being moderated by Ruveneko Parirenyatwa. We're experiencing a little bit of technical problems. I'm sure you're hearing a little bit of a buzz in your ear, but we are trying to resolve it. Meantime, just to let you know what is happening right now, there is a debate taking place at the Crown Plaza in Harare called The Elected, a presidential debate. Among the panelists who are currently being featured is, of course, Mr. Love Momaduku, the NCA party, Tendai Biti, who is sitting on part for the MDC alliance. And then also there is Ambassador Christopher Mutangwa. He's representing ZANU-PF. And then there's also Nkosana Moyo, who is a presidential candidate for APA. So the discussion is ongoing. There are a lot of issues that are going to be raised during this discussion. The debate has just started, so most of the presenters or the panelists are just sharing their manifestos and giving a sense of what they plan to do for Zimbabwe. We'll be back.
So entertained. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your opening remarks. And over to you, Shaka Sali, for our first questions to you as we debate tonight.
Thank you very much. Let me go to Ambassador Mutangwa again. Ambassador Mutangwa, your party, ZANU-PF, the last time I checked, it has been in power for 38 years. Could you please tell us what you think is the single most important decision that has been made during the last 38 years? And two, the single most regrettable decision during that period?
The single most important decision we made, I think, was soon after independence, when we said everybody should go to school. The IMF and the World Bank looked at our budget at that time in 1980, and they concluded that we didn't have enough resources to send everybody to school. But being the party which organized the people for a massive military engagement unseen in Africa by any African country against a modern army, we then advised the government to use the little budget which they had to pay teachers. So, and we went to organize the parents in the various villages all over the countryside to build schools for free. There was a competition between the government supplying software, which was the teachers, because that's what we told the government to do, to pay the teachers with that little budget. And we and the parents supplying the hardware. The parents won. Each time there were more schools being built than teachers could be supplied by the central government. We then moved on to address that issue by going back to our guerrilla training camps in Cuba and converted them to teacher training schools. 6,000 teachers were trained in Cuba, so that the government could catch up with the frenetic pace which the people of Zimbabwe were building schools. Today, we're the most educated country in Africa. UNESCO standards say so, even ahead of countries which went earlier into independence. A very literate, capable population, which when it goes to foreign countries, it earns hard currency just like anybody who is in those foreign countries. This is a singular achievement which is based on the history of organization by ZANU-PF. No African country could aspire to do that the way we did it. So saving people, making them be active citizens in a modern globalized society is what we achieved most. The worst decision was the persistence in having a geriatric becoming president until he felt that he could turn this country into a Mugabezia, like Rhodes had done. Rhodes had turned this country into a Rhodesia. Mugabe wanted to turn it into a Mugabezia. And obviously, we, the war veterans and others, we had to challenge that. And we delivered the change which the other parties had aspired to and failed over a period of time. So
Thank you, Ambassador. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you. Just a reminder that when we, as your hosts, interject, we are not being rude in any way. We did outline the ground rules that your questions will be given 2 minutes to answer, and any follow-up questions will be given 1 minute to answer. So please do comply with us. When we do stop you, it is because your time is up.
Professor Maduku.
Right.
What about you, Professor Maduku? What would you say that so far during your private life, what would you say has been the single most important decision? And about what about the single most regrettable decision during your public life?
Well, I would say that the single most important decision that I made in my private life is the decision to go to school, ensure that I pursue studies in a way that would empower me as an individual and be able to confront the challenges that everyone else has to face. You have to start on that basis. That is what I would say would be the most important decision that I made. The single most regrettable decision, if I may say so, would be the decision not to have entered politics earlier than now. I didn't then enter politics early in the 2000 when we founded the Movement for Democratic Change. I think that if I had entered politics, I would have changed the direction of the opposition at the time. So I regret not having done that.
Thank you very much. What about you, Mr. Biti?
Well, I think that the most important thing which we ever did as MTC was the decision itself to form a movement way back in 1999. We had watched our country go to the dogs, literally and metaphorically. We had watched the standards of our living collapse. We had watched the hygiene in our country collapse. We had watched the social indices, maternal mortality rates, infant mortality rates collapse. We had tried to express our anger, our frustration through trade union efforts, student movements, which both Love Moyo and I were part of, through NGOs, including the NCA, which is now a political party. And of course, through the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. And of course, the state, including President Mugabe, cynically retorted to us and say, the demands you are making are now political. Please form your own political party. So it was a bold decision to form a political party in 1999, pursuant to the National Working People's Convention that was held on the 26th of February, 1999. We gave our people hope. We gave our people a chance, and we are in the trenches today giving our people the expectation, the belief that we will change our country fundamentally. I think the regret we have is possibly around the GNU of 2008. We won the election in 2008, and we accepted there was a summit that was held at Mulungushi International Conference Center in Zambia on the 14th of April 2008. That summit came to the conclusion that we were supposed to go to a runoff on the 28th of June. But this was before the presidential result had been announced. And the presidential result would only be announced 6 weeks later on the 5th of May. So I think our decision to accept a runoff in an election which we had clearly won was wrong. We allowed stability to take over democracy, and that was a mistake which we made.
Thank you very much. Thank you. What about you, Dr. Moyo?
So, the best decision I've ever made, I don't know whether you are aware that in year 2000, I allowed myself to join a ZANU cabinet. I was invited by the president and agreed to join. I was not a member of the party. I think it's the most important decision I've ever made because it allowed me to see the beast from inside. So when I listen today to ZANU people talking, I know how they function. It's not theory. I've got first-hand experience of how incapable they are. So that was, I only spent 10 months in that cabinet, but it is the most important decision I've ever made in my life. You know, I've got a philosophical position which makes it difficult to answer the flip side of your question. In my opinion, there is no single bad decision I've ever made. Because every decision I've made has left me wiser and more aware of the world around me. So even things that have appeared to be hateful, that were painful, actually have left me a better person. So there is no bad decision I've ever made. Even those that have hurt me, they've been good decisions.
Thank you very much.
Coming back to you, gentlemen, on another point, looking at the landscape we're in now, we have elections on the 30th of July, on Monday. And some of you as parties have objected the operations of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. Some of you as parties have not. Coming first to Mr. Tendai Biti, as the MDC Alliance, you have been making the headlines and you have been the loudest voice in opposing the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. First question would be, are you ready and are you participating in Monday's elections? Second question would be, do you accept the outcome of the elections, whatever that outcome might be?
We are definitely participating in the election on Monday. There's no question about that.
It's good.
But there is no doubt that the Zimbabwe Election Commission is a captured institution. There's no doubt that they have not been partial. They have no doubt that their conduct and operations have been uneven and unequal. We are going into an election on Monday, but there's been no agreement and no transparency around the ballot paper. In normal countries, there has to be full disclosure on the ballot paper, its status, its traceability, its security, where is it coming from, where is it going to, the distribution. That basic elementary issue has not been disclosed to us. We are going into an election on Monday. Up until now, ZEC has not allowed and provided to political parties a voter's roll that complies with Section 23 of the Electoral Act. And Section 23 says they've got a duty to provide free of charge a voter's roll in searchable and analyzable form. And now they are creating this fiction that we cannot disclose the biometric voter's roll and the biometric features because your picture is private. But it is not private. It is your vote that is private. So we find that totally absurd. We're going to an election on Monday, when a few weeks ago, there's been massive abuse of postal voting. Postal voting was designed for a few people in diplomatic missions. Now it has been converted into a full-scale election. So, notwithstanding these issues, we will participate in this election. There is the second part of your question is clear. People of Zimbabwe have spoken and are speaking. You have seen the massive turnouts of people at our at our rallies and meetings. Zimbabwe is ready for change. And I think it is going to be unacceptable that you create an outcome that is not consistent with the election as the election is taking place right now. So we will not allow a situation where procedural uncertainty is used to create a predetermined outcome. We will accept the genuine and legitimate feeling and expression of the people of Zimbabwe. And our prayer, Ruveneko, is that we've been voting for 38 years, we've not elected. We hope that on Monday, the 30th of July, we'll vote and elect.
Thank you.
The consequences for our country
will be
drastic.
Thank you very much. Coming to Ambassador Mutangwa on the same topic of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, the ZANU-PF party has been loudly silent on any discrepancies that are in the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. The question would be, do you find any? And what then as well in terms of an outcome would you accept and not accept?
Well, I come from the premise that ZEC is an independent commission which is set up by Parliament, and parliamentarians who included the MDC were the ones who were instrumental in setting up ZEC, including the selection of a judge who at that time actually enjoyed a lot of favor with them. They are now finding issues with that judge. It is their quarrel between themselves and that judge. Where ZANU-PF comes in as a party which has got responsibility for law and order and the smooth running of the country is when a party decides to go extra-constitutional, extra-legal into the challenge of ZEC. They can quarrel as much as they like with ZEC. And being good lawyers, and Mr. Beat is a good lawyer, so is Mr. Chamisa, and so are many others in the MDC. You know, good lawyers take their cases to the judges. The good lawyers don't take their cases to the people in the street. So we hope that all these things, which a gamut of issues which they are raising with ZEC, time is still there between now and Monday. They can take it to the courts and have it resolved by the courts, because that is the only place where those things should be resolved. As far as we are concerned, they are making Judge Chibumba a candidate for this election when she's not on the ballot box. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they can campaign to their electorate or their voters when they are not focusing on President E.D. Mnangagwa and many other candidates, and they are trying to focus on Judge Chibumba. She will not be definitely on the ballot box. So they are missing the wood from the trees. That's what they can say about the election.
And on the outcome, sir?
Hello?
On the outcome of the elections?
We are happy with the outcome of the election, whichever way it comes. You know, it's the people of Zimbabwe decide in a vote, and the issue about money is people voting, putting their axes on whom they want to be the leader, and that is according to the constitution, which we worked together with the MDC as the main political parties. Took it to the whole country. There was a referendum.
Hello, this is Nimyake Mokalieli again here in Washington. We are sitting in the studios of the Voice of America, and this is part of Straight Talk Africa. Of course, it's a bit different from what you are normally used to. We are having a live debate right now in collaboration with the ZTN, the Zim Papers television network in Harare. There's a discussion on the elected, the presidential debate, featuring some presidential candidates as well as representatives of presidential candidates. So we are here in the studio paying attention. Unfortunately, right now we're having some audio problems, and that's why it was tossed back to us in the studio. And I have with me my colleagues Ray Choto and Praxenis Jeremiah of the VOA Zimbabwe service. Of course, we're all following this conversation intently. Interesting questions from Shaka and Ruveneko about, you know, regrets and, you know, things that they don't regret. What takeaway do you have from the conversation, Ray?
I mean, just to begin with, this is a very exciting conversation that we're having. I think the first of its kind, mm-hmm. where VOA is partnering with the Zimbabwean news organization.
Yes.
Yeah, the responses that I've got from let's say, Dr. Nkosana Moyo, I mean, who joined the Zimbabwe government after he has been invited by then-President Robert Mugabe for only 10 months. He said it gave him an opportunity to see how the Mugabe system operates and how bad they were doing their business. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing is that he left the government after 10 years, and we all know that Dr. Nkosana Moyo did not really resign, but he just left the government and went to South Africa after 10 months.
Right.
And somehow faxed his resignation letter to President Robert Mugabe. An interesting observation there. We go again to Love Momaduku, who talks about having had the opportunity to go to school, to get educated, and also to be at the forefront in terms of forming the National Constitutional Assembly, which then gave birth to the Movement for Democratic Change, but regrets that he did not join the Movement for Democratic Change when it was formed in 1999. And we go back again to Mr. Biti, who talks about the GNU in 2008.
Did you find that revealing, what he revealed about the Mulungushi Center and the decision that were made there for them to actually...
I think for some of our listeners and viewers today, it could be something new. But, I mean, because we've been reading and studying, we are quite sure about what really happened at Lubumbashi. We are quite sure about the debate that was within the MDC itself not to be involved in the government of national unity immediately after they've realized that they've won. They won the parliamentary votes, but in that election, the MDC did not win a popular vote in 2008 in the first round, but it did win the majority of parliamentary seats.
And it's an issue we keep hearing recurrently. Of course, it's very unfortunate that the man at the time of the 2008 elections, the late Morgan Tsvangirai, is no longer here.
Precisely.
And I guess many would consider it quite regrettable that, you know, here's maybe another chance for MDC, do you think, SPJ?
For the MDC to prevail
now as an alliance, a combination of all the former broken parts.
That comes to the point that I wanted to say that of the regrets, I thought Miti would come in and say the factionalism, the breakaway that they had in MDC is the one that killed the movement. Now they are trying to come back, but at the same time, there is also that part of MDCT led by... Mr. Wozani Kupe, and the one led by Nelson Chamisa. And now Mr. Nelson Chamisa is leading the MDC alliance as a coalition of the breakaway MDCs. I would have thought that he would delve into that. That was partly, that could be partly the regret that they have as an alliance, as a party. Mm-hmm. And also coming to Dr. Moyo, what took him so long to come back when he left 2002 and now we're talking 2018, 10 years or 15 years down the line? Talking about ZANU-PF, I would have thought Mr. Mutangwa would talk about the land issue, but he didn't touch upon it. I hope the moderators I would ask about the land issue, because the land issue is the one that killed Zimbabwe.
Okay, absolutely. Well, took a little break from the action in Harare, where there's a debate, the presidential debate taking place. Due to technical issues, the audio quality is a little compromised, so we were just trying to wait for that issue to be resolved, but we're going back to the discussion.
We're trying to build social capital to bind a people together. You have to use the constitution as minimum standards and do more than the call of duty, so to speak, to build trust. We are coming from a history where I have to say this is why, I mean, I think it's beautiful that Ambassador Mutangwa is representing ZANU, because it's the second time I've met him. And I hope that Zimbabweans really listen carefully, because when you're incapable of admitting your mistakes, you are also incapable of improving. So the issue of the constitution, there are countries that have got no written constitution. The question is, do we as a people want to run a society that we can be proud of, using the constitution as a minimum reference point, but doing much more to build belief and credibility of our institutions or not? The culture that ZANU has cultivated and nurtured in the last 38 years is about bossiness, not about servant leadership. They think they are the boss. They don't think that the people are the boss. So if, for instance, there is a constitution, but the people say, actually, We are not accepting this. Your clock is not working, so I'm not sure what time.
Your time is up, unfortunately. Thank you, Dr. Moyo. Okay. Thank you. Interesting that you speak of the admission of mistakes when in your opening, when asked, what is your regrettable decision, you said you have none.
No, but I didn't say I didn't say that you should listen carefully to what I said.
What did you say, Dr. Moore?
I say even the decisions that appear negative, they've left me a wiser person.
Noted.
I see.
All right, let's move to our next round of questions. What we'd like to do, gentlemen, in your answers, we can sense your body language as one candidate responds, another one fidgets, frowns, and scowls if need be, sometimes smiling and nodding. We would like to encourage you to respond to each other. So I know that when we mentioned the ground rules, so to speak, you might have thought it's a bit rigid. We know that some of you are used to our form of parliament, for example, where you can speak over each other, but we don't want to keep you too confined. We're going to open it up a little bit. This is the great thing about anything live. We can adjust and adapt. So we're going to allow for a bit of back and forth between you. If you do have a direct response to anything that has been said by one of the other panelists, please feel free to signal and let us know that there's a point of pressure that you'd like to speak to. Dr. Moyo, can I start with you?
I would like to respond to Ambassador Mtangwa's issue about war veterans. I think this thing is so painful for most Zimbabwean families. Most Zimbabwean families lost people in that war. And they came back. A lot of our relatives did not come back. And they keep going on and on and on as if they own. I think it's regrettable. It's really totally unbelievable that they can go on the way they do. Yeah.
Okay, what we will do, I hope I haven't created a monster in allowing you to respond to each other, but I'm going to allow for the same format. Our light, if the audience can also help me be the judge, there are two white lights right now above the monitors on the screen. When they go red, it means your minute is up. So with your help as the audience, we will be conducting that. But please do allow each speaker to have their minute before interjecting, if possible. Thank you. Dr. Moyo, I'll allow you to finish your point.
The people, the war veterans who are alive and are back here, looking after themselves and claiming monopoly over the revolution, are totally misguided. This whole nation went to war. They know that. And most of our people did not come back. And they are not reaping the benefits that they are monopolizing today. And I think it's unforgivable that they're doing what they're doing. And I think they ought to be a bit more humble to understand they are lucky because they came back. A lot of our relatives didn't come back. And I think it's so unacceptable that they go on and do what they're doing today. They've hijacked the revolution, and they are alive. They are lucky to be alive. We lost relatives who totally forgotten, and the revolution has been hijacked.
Thank you. Ambassador.
Plain hogwash. This is what's it. Plain hogwash. This is my generation. Equally smart as I was, never made a decision to join a fight. I went through that when I was a university student. I know the people who died. They were my colleagues. He is now trying to want to speak on their behalf when he was a coward. This is unforgivable on his part. You don't speak about an issue which you didn't participate when you had reason to participate. Period. And anybody can howl whatsoever once he was in this room. You did not participate in that war. Give those who fought that war the prerogative to talk about it. People were organized by the war veterans. It was a painful exercise. It was death every day of my life doing that. And I'm now being given lectures by people who were not in that war. I will not accept it. On behalf of those who... In any case, it's not going to be repeated. It's not like going to school and we're saying I repeat another class. It was done and it was done the way it was done. I don't want
Thank
to
you,
listen
Ambassador.
To nonsense.
Thank you, Ambassador. I think I'm going to come to our other two panelists on this point and just broaden it a little bit beyond just the issue of war veterans, because there is a culture of politics in Zimbabwe where there's a question right now, especially I'll speak for my generation, where the question becomes, are our leaders leading us to a politics under Zimbabwe that is best for the Zimbabwean, or is politics so individualistic? where everybody has their hurts, as Ambassador Mchangwa is talking about. Yes. Everyone has their vision, not to take anything away from that. But I'll implore the other two gentlemen to guide us away from just about war veterans and speak more holistically, because some generations cannot identify with a war veteran, for example. So first with you, Professor Maduku.
I must say that I absolutely agree with what Dr. Moyo said, and that it's important that we emphasize that this country is not every day about the liberation struggle. I think that is fair. That phase is over. I think if there was any reward to be given, 38 years would be enough. It's very important that we get that we are not the only country that had to be liberated from some struggle. Every society has fought a war, every society has fought oppression, every society has fought injustice. But it is not, it is this only society where those that believe they fought injustice. But from what Dr. Moyo said, it's not those who are in ZANU-PF who would claim to have fought injustice. Everyone fought injustice, and every family and every person in Zimbabwe would be part and parcel of we would all say we're coming from a war veteran struggle. We are, and for that reason, I think that...
you identify with it?
Can I finish and say that to identify is not to say
I'm
ZANU-PF. He's confusing being ZANU-PF and identifying the ideals of the liberation struggle.
We are all Professor. Free. Thank you, Professor. Mr. Biti. Any contribution to this portion
yes,
here?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I agree with my two colleagues, Dr. Moyo and Prof. Mali.
Which two colleagues, sir?
It's a tragedy that my colleagues like Chris Mchango are still fighting a war that finished 40 years ago. That we are beholden to a past, and that past is now a basis of entitlement, a basis of impunity, a basis of this strong messianic complex that they hold, that we liberated you. Can you be?
Ambassador Mchangwa, please allow Mr. Biti to finish.
Can you be a comrade for once? Can you be a comrade for once? That we liberated you, and we say at our public meetings, as MDC Alliance, that if the abuse we suffer by those who claim to have liberated us goes to the extent of the debasement of our country in the manner that they've done, we can't allow that as a license.
Thank you.
And so sometimes we say, guys, you old people, if you think you liberated us, go and tie that country again so that our own generation can liberate it, because we are tired of this.
Thank you, sir.
You know, terrible.
I guess
job is cheap.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I have.
In the room, it is evident from our panel that there might be a need for national healing, peace and reconciliation. So I'll hand over to you now.
Well, of course, you all know what happened at least around 1983 in Matevele land. You call it Gukurahunde?
Hundi.
Gukurahundi.
Yes. Please allow for the question to come. Thank you.
Do you think, for example, that there is a need for national reconciliation, that you have really to come up with policies that are designed to bring about, a sort of healing, really, when you think about it. Because as I talk to people, people keep talking about the events of the 1983. You, in Zimbabwe, you border with a country that went through something called truth, justice, and reconciliation, south of the border, south of Limpopo. Is it possible that perhaps as a nation, you should think first and foremost, perhaps about apologizing really to the nation for what happened, so that you can move forward? What about you, Ambassador Mutyango? What do you think about that?
Look, the development of any country is not linear. In the process, certain decisions can be made, and some of them can be actually wrong decisions, and they can be painful for the country. It is the challenge of social development. And in the instance of what you are talking about, certain things happened amongst the people of Zimbabwe, and it is a painful chapter, of course, from that aspect. But look, let's look at it in the other context. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa was about a colonial and anti-apartheid process. Here in this case, it's about the people groups falling out of each other. And these are the painful processes, mistakes which any country could make, which should be avoidable. And once they are made, then they become part of the history of that country. In America, there was a civil war, a terrible civil war, soon after the Real Revolution in 1773. That was a mistake on the part of the Americans. But they are a United Nation today, and America is a democratic nation. So let's, you know, there's nothing wrong with people looking at where they've gone wrong and coming to processes where they come to consensus or to healing about that process. But there's also everything wrong about trying to rub salt into old wounds and revive old wounds persistently. Because you see, if we start in 1983, others would say, let's start in 1965, when the country was thrown into a civil war by Rhodesian actions. So it's a country which has gone through very painful stages of its history. We would want to avoid such mistakes into the future. But let's not try to use the past as a means to build grievances against each other into the future. That is not nation building.
Unfortunately, time is not the best ally. What about you, Professor Maduku? Do you think that there's a need for national healing, a need for closure, really?
Yes, I think that I need to emphasize that issues to do with national healing have to start from the factual position. Is it an issue or is it not an issue that there was Gugura Wound? It is an issue. Because it is an issue, we cannot avoid it. It has to be confronted. So first is to recognize that the Gugura Wound issue is an issue. Then secondly, that there must be national healing. But the solution to our national healing must start from the premise that the current government is not recognizing that as an issue. They are not. And that, I think, if you listen to the answer that has been given, it is emphasizing that let's not go to the past. It's actually an indirect way of saying it is not an issue. So you have to resolve it first. You remove ZANU-PF from office. You get a new government that recognizes that that is an important thing. Then I need to see that in trying to deal with national healing, you actually have to address the differential developmental issues. Most parts of Matabeleland are much, you know, worse than any other part of our country. And this is related. You have Gugura Wound, you have massive underdevelopment in that part. I'm not saying that the country is developed elsewhere, but it's massive underdevelopment in Matabeleland. So those two things must be connected. You recognize it, it cannot be recognized by ZANU. ZANU is out, you get a government that brings people together, develops the country in an equal way. That is the way I would see it.
What about you, Dr. Moyo?
I would like to take a position which combines the two positions. I agree, but different interpretation. I think that we as a people need to absolutely factually recognize what happened if we're going to learn from it. But I think we need to be very careful, though, not to try to remake the past. For me, I would like my nation to challenge me in building a future where those things cannot happen again. There are only 24 hours in a day. So I think it's important to understand how you deal with the past and what you learn from it in order to build a different future, as opposed to being retrogressive and getting caught up in the past. So it's a bit of a combination of the two answers.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be factual. We have to recognize what happened so we can learn from it and then use it to build a different future.
Very interesting. Now, Mr. Biti, in most African countries where groups came to power through successful liberation struggles, you find that people who are in power tend to either feel or behave in a manner that you would characterize, frankly, as having a sense of ownership. And this is not limited to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, as a matter of fact, used the AK-47, but eventually you had elections in 1980. But you have never changed government since then, since April 18, 1980. There is a president in East Africa who went through a liberation struggle, and he says, my army, my money, my oil. And I also recall that Zimbabwean President Robert Gabriel Mugabe at one time said, addressing to the then British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, he said, Tony Blair, keep your Britain and I'll keep my Zimbabwe. The question is really, who is the owner of Zimbabwe? Are Zimbabwean citizens, meaning they owe allegiance to the state, and therefore they have constitutional rights, inalienable rights, in fact, birthrights? Or are they subjects who have no rights but can be granted privileges by the individual they basically owe allegiance to? That could be a king, an emperor, or a presidential monarch. Who is the primary stakeholder of Zimbabwe?
Well, quite clearly, the primary stakeholder has to be the people of Zimbabwe, the Wananchi, the Walalahoe. But regrettably, that has never been the case. We have remained a captive state, run by coercion, run by capture, and run by corruption. And that is why, for the past 20 years, we've been in the trenches trying to, through democratic means, to have democracy in our country.
And it feeds into
the discussion on war veterans which we have had. We have a group of men and women who believe that by virtue of them having participated in the war of liberation, they own this country.
Hello, back again from here in Washington, D.C., the Straight Talk Africa studio at the Voice of America. There's a live debate taking place as we speak in Harare, the elected presidential debate, which is a collaboration between the Voice of America and the Zim Papers television network. Shaka Sali is one of the moderators, as is Reveneko Parira Nyatwa. And here in the studios of the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa show are my colleagues from the VOA Zimbabwe service, Ray Choto and Praxedis Jeremiah. And we're also trying to weigh in on the discussion that is taking place so far away. I think we do wish we were there. But as we are here hearing this conversation, clearly, Ray, I want to come to you. You know, some of the issues that are really resonating or really igniting the conversation there, it seems to be still this issue of the election fairness, the platform, ZEC, the liberation war, and how the Ambassador Mchangwa really seemed to be on the defensive and on the attack at the same time. And then, of course, Ms. PJ, I'd like you to address this issue of Gukurahundi, which is still very, very raw in a lot of people's minds. How do you think this conversation is going? Is it delving into the issues that Zimbabweans care about?
Basically, Ndimiyake, it's quite an interesting conversation. Unfortunately, I think time is not enough, really, to get into all the issues that have to be debated. Yes, we have had arguments from Mr. Mtrangwa, being a war veteran, and also, Mr. Biti saying what he's bringing to the discussion here is something that should have been dealt 40 years ago. I totally agree with you. Coming back to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, we've heard complaints from most of the opposition parties who are participating in this election, and we haven't heard even one single complaint from ZANU-PF. And people start asking, why is it that ZANU-PF is not complaining? And we also look at that, it is ZANU-PF through the president of Zimbabwe, who is President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who appointed the chair of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, Justice Priscilla Chigumba.
But of course, also we know that it was he appointed, but obviously it had to go through a process which was pretty democratic. The judicial commission had to weigh in, even Parliament had to weigh in, narrow it down on the names of not only the chair but the commissioners as well. So that is always a resonating issue about. So the fact that he makes the final decision on who is the commissioner or the chairperson, does it really make it a ZANU-PF choice?
At the end of the day, I think we need to understand the legal processes that are involved in picking the commissioners. Mm-hmm. The legal fraternity in Zimbabwe, the Law Society and others, they submit names. And right. It is up to the president to pick the chairperson.
Yes.
That is not being debated. But I'm just
but
going to look
here. He
can
pick whoever he wants out of the, what you call, the final list of candidates that have been vetted, right?
Yes.
But I know this conversation could go on for a long time, and I really I don't want us to end up also becoming part of the politicians.
I just wanted to say briefly that the problem with the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, the way we are seeing it from the opposition, is that it has tried to play the Alpha and the Omega of the electoral process.
And I need to move on to PJ. I'm so sorry. We have 45 seconds left. Gukurahundi.
Yes, Gukurahundi. It was only touched superficially, but it needs some more discussion. That's how I feel. And also, I was also interested in the entitlement part of the liberation. Yes, they still have that entitlement. You can see by the body language, whatever Ambassador Mtrangwa was saying. And also Zek, but at the same time, I'm divided. It was chosen. Ambassador Mtrangwa was also saying the correct thing, that it was chosen by the parliament itself, and MDC was part of that.
Right. Well, it's an ongoing conversation that, of course, you will continue to actually have the privilege of hearing the duration of. When we switch over to the next platform. Currently, you have been watching the Zimbabwe presidential debate. It's live from Harare. And in just a moment, for our television and radio audience only, we must end our special edition of Straight Talk Africa. But you may now switch over and watch the remainder of the presidential debate on Facebook. Just type in the key words VOA Straight Talk Africa or go to YouTube or voaafrica.com. And as we continue our debate online, to our affiliate stations, we thank you for watching and listening. And before I say goodbye, I want to acknowledge my in-studio guests, Ray Choto and Praxedes Jeremiah. And, of course, I'm Dimyake Mwakalielia. We've been kind of holding the ball here in Washington. And I'd like to say good night to all of you.
The data around debt and that there's full compliance with the Public Debt Management Act and the Public Finance Management Act, as well as the Constitution of Zimbabwe. So in simple terms, we seek debt.
End our special debate edition of Straight Talk Africa, but you may now switch over and watch Straight Talk Africa on all our social media platforms, including VOA Africa.